Thank you so much for being here. It's my pleasure. Brother Peter Chamberlain, Pastor Peter Chamberlain, is pastor of Granite State Baptist Church in Concord, New Hampshire. And got to go up there and see the place and just the soul-winning church that it is and the good people. And they were so hospitable, kept us in the house, and got to be his friend. Before, he was just Brother Danny's brother. But now he's my friend, and we look forward to just having him not only preach to us today, but also to our teenagers. You know, I can tell you for me, and I'll just, again, how much it matters to pray, I surrendered to preach at teen camp. Amen. It was a lot of years ago. It's been a few years. Put a little bit of water under the bridge, but listen, there's so many preachers across the country that say it was that teen camp experience that I went to, and God got a hold of my heart. Now for me, I didn't lay down the cell phone, but all the other things of the world that were having at me when I got to go away and just be away for a few days and give myself to the Lord, and the Lord took me. Amen. And I didn't deserve to be used. And listen, there's a lot of our teenagers. There's a lot of people. If you're not careful, you'll see those teenagers. They'll never amount to anything. But I'm telling you, I used to be one of those teenagers. And it was only by the grace of God. And I appreciate Brother Chamberlain coming all this way and preaching for us and leaving his pulpit to be with us and spend time on our teenagers. You come and preach to us, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. What a blessing to be able to be here. We've been looking forward to it. And thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to come and be able to spend this week and really entrusting us with your young people. And I'm looking forward to it. It was at Bible camp for me, too, when I was 8 years old that I surrendered my life to be able to preach the Word of God. And we're so thankful for it. I'm blessed to be able, I'm not going to make them stand up, but I have my wife and my wife Crystal and my daughter Ruth that's here with me for this weekend. They'll be flying back tomorrow and getting back up there. I've already heard they've had wonderful services back up in Concord already this morning. We're thankful for it. But thank you for providing a home for my family as they came down here for Danny and Rita. And of course, the kids, we're thankful for it. Thankful for the heritage and the testimony of Landmark Baptist Church and all that God has done over the years. And I'll say this, and I firmly believe it, that the same God that this church was started and founded upon is the same God that we serve today. And I believe that God has great things in store. You say, well, the Lord's coming back. We're just going to endure till the end. I'm going to try to enjoy till the end. And knowing that we serve a wonderful Savior. And we are looking forward to this week. I found out this, not all the teenagers across this country are going the wrong direction. Some of them have a desire to be able to serve the Lord. I want to come right in alongside of them and be able to encourage them and let them thrive in their walk with God. I believe that that's so important. And not all of our young people are going the way of the world. And so if you're remaining faithful and you've got kids that are remaining faithful, then I cheer you on. And I encourage you to stay faithful. Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to encourage us as we get into the scriptures this morning. And so thankful. I'm glad that Pastor and his family have made it back here safely. And we thank the Lord for that. And he used to make those trips when he was younger. And so, but I'm thankful that they made it back in. I'm going to try to keep him awake. So if he starts nodding off, just give me a signal and I'll step back here and wake him up. I bet he won't fall asleep. But I feel right to home this morning. We're thankful to be able to be here with you. And Hebrews chapter 11, if you don't mind, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to. Hebrews chapter 11, many of us would know this as the faith chapter, the hall of faith, as we looked at it in the Word of God. And we're not going to look at every individual, male or female, down here through this chapter of Scripture. But I do want to look at the first six verses and just share a few things that the Lord's encouraged my heart about. And maybe there'll be a blessing, I believe they will, this morning. Hebrews 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we understand back here in verse number six, we understand this phrase, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. I believe it'd be the desire in each and every one of our hearts, if we have any relationship with the Lord whatsoever, for our lives to please him. Would you agree with that this morning? We want our lives to please him. I want God to be pleased with my life. But that's going to be impossible, the Bible says, without this matter of faith. And I want to preach and share a few thoughts simply this morning on this subject matter, on learning to believe, or learning to have faith. Let's have a word of prayer and then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the word of God. Lord, thank you that we can gather together this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, as we celebrated this past week, I'm thankful for a free country. Lord, that we still have the liberties and the freedoms to be able to stand without apology and to be able to open the Word of God and to be able to pray together, to be able to assemble together, and Lord, to be able to proclaim what thus saith the Lord says. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us this morning. I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would find a lodging place in our hearts and lives, that you would be honored and glorified now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we examine this matter of faith this morning, and I don't know if you've been like me, I'm sure you have in times past in your hearts and lives, that we may be like the disciples sometime, or some of those that would come to Jesus and say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that there's times that as we're going through life that we have our faith for salvation. And I'm thankful that God has granted to us the ability to be able to call upon him as our Lord and Savior. But may I remind us this morning that faith in Almighty God does not stop at the moment of salvation. But it is continued faith each and every day of our lives. And God is desiring for our faith to grow. That's why he says we need to exercise that. We need to exhibit that faith. And as we look here in Hebrews 11, boy, what a list of people that God has given to us to be able to go back and to examine their life of faith, and understanding that these weren't just great Christians of the past, but we understand that they were normal people that exercised their faith in a great God. And as we are here in 2022, and I'm not here to preach, and I'm not going to make mention of too many current events, but I will remind us what the Bible says in Luke 18. It asks, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And it seems like as we're going through life today, and I'm talking churches that are just like ours, that are sending kids off to Bible camp, that are doing their best to be able to live for God, it seems like we start getting focused more on the things of this world than exercising our faith in Almighty God on a daily basis. You understand that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I believe that nowadays is a tremendous opportunity not to show how strong of a faith we have, but to be able to reveal how great of a God our faith is in 2022. And sometimes we have to come back and we have to be reminded of this. It needs to be stirred up in our hearts and lives, because I believe that God is waiting and willing to be able to show himself strong on behalf of them, according to Chronicles, on whose heart is perfect towards him and exercising their faith in the Almighty God of heaven. And I'm thankful today. Listen, we could go back, we could give you accounts and stories the same way that you can hear about what God has done over the years by simply a group of people or a family or an individual that is saying, listen, I may not have the greatest faith, but I've got the greatest God. And sometimes that needs to be stirred up inside of us and take us back to what it was like. And when we remembered, hey, remember when we just had faith that God was going to do it? We didn't have anything else. We didn't have the assurance of anybody else, of anything else, of a big bank account. We just believed that God was God and He was going to take care of it. Well, I want us to see as we look down through this passage of Scripture, I told you we won't touch on every one of them this morning, but I want you to see as God is teaching us and increasing our faith and teaching us to believe and to increase our belief in the Lord, we see a pattern that has been set before us. A pattern that's been set before us. You say, what do you mean? Well, take the time to be able to go down through Hebrews chapter number 11. He starts here with creation. And we understand that it's by faith that the worlds have been framed. We understand according to Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 that God Himself spoke everything into existence. I still believe that today, don't you? I still believe that God spoke everything into existence. I've been told this, if you have a problem with Genesis chapter 1 or John chapter 1 in the Bible, you're going to have some problems other places in the Bible too. And so the God that spoke everything into existence, and then He starts mentioning people. We read about Abel, and we have here Enoch, and we have Noah, and we have Abraham, and we have Sarah, and we have Jacob, and Isaac, and Joseph, and Moses, and all the way down through it. Even said that time would fail to be able to tell about all that they did to exercise their faith in the God of heaven. Time would fail them. They don't have the space to be able to do it. You say, what are we going to do for eternity? Why don't we just sit down with Gideon? It wasn't told us in the Scriptures here in Hebrews chapter 11, but sit down with him and to be able to ask him about how he exercised his faith in Almighty God to be able to go do what God has called us to do. We see this pattern that has been established all the way down through from the beginning of the Scriptures to the end of the Scriptures. God has given us this hall of faith to be able to understand. Listen, these were just ordinary people. Do you understand? Noah was just living his life. He was just raising his family in obedience to the commands of the Lord. And the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said, I want you to do something great. Just want you to build an ark to be able to rescue your family and in turn be able to save humanity for the centuries to be able to come. Just what we would call an ordinary family that was just serving the Lord and doing their best to be able to live for God in a wicked and perverse nation. But here he is mentioned here by faith. Here's Enoch just before him that, listen, his testimony was that he just walked with God. And I found out as we look down through here, listen, God's not looking for great qualifications to be able to draw them in. But what God is looking for in establishing and showing us this pattern that we have this morning is people that are simply obedient to the Word of God and the will of God for their life. You come down through, if you were to sit down and talk with Abraham and say, hey, what was it like? He said, I was just trying to live my life, be obedient to the Lord. And the Lord came to me one night and said, pack up, you're moving. And he just followed the Lord. Listen, he never did get to the destination till after he died. Can you imagine a missionary coming into Landmark like that? Where's God called you? I don't know. We're going. What are you going to do when we get there? I don't know, but God said to go and we're moving. He packed up, started going looking for that city whose builder and maker. Listen, it wasn't with human hands. A pattern that's been set, but over and over and over throughout the Scriptures. God did not call the qualified. You've heard that. He qualified the called. And He put that faith inside of them. And they simply said, we have a God in heaven that has put this inside of us. And we are going to go by faith and do what God has commanded us to do. A pattern that has been set. Now, can I remind us that if God has taking care of His children all the way down through the years for some 6,000 years now of this earth and mankind being in existence, then God is not going to fail now just because it's 2022. Learning to believe. You say, Pastor, Brother Chamberlain, my faith has gotten a little bit weak over the past couple of years. Well, guess what? God has not slacked off one bit. And none of this has taken God by surprise. God's not wringing his hands. God's not saying, what are we going to do with the churches today? No, he's just given us a pattern. And listen, we can read down through here and we can understand that the same God that took care of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God that we serve today and can take care of us on a daily basis. You say, why? Because he has a track record of doing it. He has a pattern. You understand what I'm going to, by God's grace, what I'm going to be preaching to the teenagers this week is, listen, the same God that's taken care of us over the years is the same God that they can have the confidence of taking their life and placing it in God's hand and saying, God, my life is yours to control. And God, it's all yours. There's a pattern before us. But then we see down through here, and I want us to understand in verse number 6 that there is a person to be believed. You see, today in our society, and may I also say in our religious circles and churches that are all around us, or I should say assemblies that are gathering this morning, do you know that there's assemblies out there and there's organizations that have greater faith maybe than what we may have today? But they've got a lot of faith in their church. They've got a lot of faith in their works. They've got a lot of faith in their sacraments, and they've got a lot of faith in what they are allowed to accomplish. But can I say, faith is not in our works that we're accomplishing. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, we understand, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, listen, must believe that he is. Boy, what a statement that's made to us right there in the scriptures, that it's a matter of understanding that we have a person that we believe in, not just a procedure or a process as we're going through life. We have a person. We have God Almighty. We don't have blind faith this morning. We have the Word of God. We have God himself that I have placed my faith in. You say, well, you're one of those that believe you can actually pray and talk to somebody. Yes, I actually do believe that. I believe there's someone on the other side that's actually listening to us when we pray. You say, who is that? It's God Almighty. There's a person to be believed in. You know why your faith will get a little bit weak and why it'll start slacking off? Because you start believing in actually what you can do, instead of what God's able to do. We look out, and I've heard people say it. Well, man, I'd hate to be raising kids in 2022, and I'd hate to be raising kids in this day and age and everything that they have to face. Listen, even Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun. We still have families in our church, just like you have families in your church, that are raising their families and they're raising their kids according to the principles of the Word of God. And guess what? They're doing just fine. You say, well, they might be sheltered from a few things. They need to be sheltered from a few things. They need to be kept under cover. They don't need to be exposed to everything that's out there in this world. They need to be exposed to the Lord, because there is a person, a real live living person, that they can place their faith and trust in. And may I say this today, if you're here and you're searching for something, you're looking for something, you might be a visitor. I don't know who the visitors are here today, but I can say this. Don't put your trust in Landmark Baptist Church, but you can put your trust in the God that Landmark serves. And you say, there's just a void in my life. There's just something that's missing. Hey, listen, you're not going to find it in fulfillment of this world, but you'll find it in a person that you are able to place your faith and trust in. Just believing that he is. You say, what is he? Whatever you need today. You see, the Bible tells us that it pleased the Lord that in Christ all fullness should dwell. That means anything that we need is found in Christ. You say, well, I'm missing this in my life. It's found in Jesus. Well, I believe this is missing in my family. Guess what? It's found in Jesus. We just need to be reminded about this once in a while. Hey, our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just sang about it, on Christ the solid rock I stand. It's in Him. There's a pattern that has been set before us. There is a person that we can believe in. And can I remind us of this? That your faith is only as good and as strong as the person that it's in. The church will let you down. Society will let you down. A human person will let you down. What Psalm 118 verse 8 say? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. There's only one that's never let us down. There's only one that's never slept and never slumbered. There's only one that's always said, I'm here no matter what you're going through. Hey, listen. There's times when you wake up in the middle of the night and it may be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And listen, you may be full of anxiety. You may be full of worry. Your mind may be running 100 miles an hour and there's nobody that you can call. Can I say this? There's a God in heaven that's waiting. And boy, how many have used that time in the morning to be able to call out before the Lord and said, Lord, I just need to talk to you. Nobody else is awake right now, just in the quietness of it, because we can believe in Him. There's a person to be believed. But then can I say this? I want you to see the pursuit in verse number 6. Verse number 6, look at this. The end of verse number 6, it says that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Now, there's a qualification after this. I guess I'm not around a group of people that we just get participation trophies each morning, right? Well, I showed up, so I get a trophy. No, there's a qualification right here. Look what the Bible says. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Boy, what a statement. I know our theme going out to camp, searching, diligently seek Him. I wonder if that could be said, and just let that sink on your heart for a moment this morning. I wonder if it could be said this morning that this past week you have diligently, which means with earnest expectation, with commitment, diligently, faithfully gone after Him, sought the Lord. You say, well, that's what Sunday morning is for. I'm here in church and I'm here to be able to find Jesus. Can I say it's a great place to find Jesus if you don't know Him? It's a wonderful place. But can I say this? God wants more in a relationship with you than just on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Diligently. Boy, how many of us could stand and give testimony one after another this morning about what that reward is that comes back when you diligently seek Him. Listen, I'm not talking about $100 bills raining from the sky. I'm not talking about you're walking out there and there's a brand new Ferrari or Lamborghini or something that's going to be given to you. We're not talking about those type of rewards. But I will say this, there is a peace that passeth all understanding. That's in direct relationship to our prayer life with Him. Well, I'm telling you, as soon as I trusted Christ as my Savior, the Bible tells us that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and we have the promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You understand, if you're a child of God, He has rewarded you more in this life and the life to come than we can ever fathom and understand while we're here. A rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, that just have that passion and that earnest desire to be able to go after the Lord. And I found out this, the closer you get to the Lord, boy, the more faith is exercised in our lives. More we start saying, hey, well, it's just God that's going to take care of it. It's just God that's going to do it. God, we just got to lay this at your feet. Well, preacher, that sounds like just the easy and the lazy way out. No, because if it's His work, He takes care of things anyway. And He provides and meets the needs, and we're just trying to draw closer to the Lord. And I've said it over and over. We were missionaries for 15 years before we moved up to New Hampshire and started our church 8.5 years ago. And we had to live it. We had to learn it. God always pays His bill. My responsibility wasn't paying the bill. My responsibility was diligently seeking Him. And see, we've gotten away from it today in churches. We have the availability of everything else in life and all the modern conveniences of life. And if we're not careful, we get away from just diligently seeking the Lord. Amen. That we're just going after the Lord. We started several months ago at our church, and it sure has made a difference. I told our church, and you know how it is. We have a lot of things going on, just like around here. But I told our church, I said, I'm going to be here at our church every Saturday night at 7 o'clock praying for God to be able to do something the next day in our church. And you say, Brother Chamberlain, what was the purpose of that? Nothing. I told the church, I said, we're not coming together. I understand your ingrown toenail, I said, is very severe, and we need to pray over that. I said, but that's not what we're gathering together for. We have a prayer sheet for the rest of the week. And I said, I want us to gather together, and I said, I want us to pray for the power of God and the presence of God, I said, to be able to be upon our church services and in this place, I said, on the next Lord's Day. Now, can I say, there's probably only six or eight that'll come out. Some are just faithful. It's just clockwork. They were praying last night while I was down here. They were at the church, and they were praying. But I had one of our men come up to me, and this was about 4 or 5 months ago. He said, boy, he said, it just seems like the Lord's doing something. And he said, I bet we could go back and start tracing it when we just started seeking the Lord's face. I said, isn't it amazing? I said that the Bible gives us the promise and God follows through with it. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Let me ask you something. I wonder how our seeking of the Lord is. I wonder how diligent we are about it. Or maybe we've lost faith because you've been praying for years and maybe some of your prayers haven't been answered yet. We had a dear family in our church. She raised 5 or 6 of her kids as the only spiritual leader in their household. They all went through Bible college. The majority of them, I believe all but maybe one, they're serving the Lord faithfully. I mean, they have a walk with God. We praise the Lord for it. It was only about 3 or 4 years ago that her husband got saved. And she had diligently prayed for her husband for over 30 years as a faithful wife, faithful mother, faithful coming to church as often as she's able to be there. And God saved him about 4 years ago. Can I say this? We've just lost some of our faith in Almighty God of just diligently seeking Him and saying, God, we just believe You. We just believe God. Can I close with this? We understand in verse number 6, we understand the purpose of our faith. Purpose of our faith, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. I wonder today, as we're sitting here on a Sunday morning, Landmark Baptist Church, you say, I thought it was just going to be another Sunday morning. Let me ask you something and answer the question in your heart between you and God. Is God pleased with your level of faith right now? Is God pleased with where you're at and saying, God, I'm going to believe You, I'm going to trust You? Or maybe there's some steps that need to be taken in your life to exercise that faith a little bit. And to be able to say, God, would You stretch me a little bit further? Now, some of you may be sitting here right now, and you may be saying, I've got a lot of faith, but it's in my church, it's in my works, it's in everything that I'm going to do, and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Can I say the greatest step of faith that you can take today is placing your faith in Jesus for all of eternity? And understanding that He's the one that died for you. He's the one that was buried. He's the one that rose again. You say, preacher, how do you know that? It's by faith. It's by faith. Guess what? I wasn't there, but I've got a firsthand account that tells of those that saw Him and talked to Him as Jesus rose from the dead for each and every one of us. And you say, that's your first step of faith that needs to be taken, is you need to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're trying to do everything else beyond this, trying to exercise your faith in the church, trying to exercise your faith in humanity. You've never exercised your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, church, can I encourage you on this? I wonder if the Lord's pleased with our faith. Or maybe we're just getting to the point of saying, well, we're just going to batten down the hatches and we're just going to endure the storm. Now, I believe even in this time, the world needs to see a church that has faith in Almighty God. Isn't that what we've been preaching for years? And now when it starts getting a little bit tight, we start saying, oh, we're not going to be able to make it. What's the world going to say? The testimony of our Savior. When we start acting like God's not big enough to take care of us. That's the God that we serve. So let's exercise that. Let's examine that. Let's allow the world to be able to see not us having great faith, but a great God that we're exercising that in, and say, listen, they're still going. They must really believe that God that they're serving. And I'm saying, God, would you help us in our matter of faith? If you need to be saved this morning, trust Christ as your Savior. Listen, the reason for that is because we're all sinners. And your good works, my good works, they're not going to get us to heaven on our own. If our good works could get us there, then why did Jesus have to die? Why'd he have to go through all of that and endure all of that? He didn't have to if it's my works. But it's not my works. It's my faith in what he did. And church, I want to encourage us. Listen, I don't know if your faith is waning and waxing cold in these days. But I want to encourage you, stir that back up. Boy, ask the Lord to be able to stir that faith inside of you. Get alone with him and say, God, here's my faith is, it's just getting weak. God, would you stir it up? Go back and look at the pattern. If God did it for Abel, God did it for Noah, God did it for Abraham, God did it for Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, God did it for all them, guess what? God's going to do it for us. So let's remain faithful to the Lord and trust him on a daily basis that God will break through. Exercise your faith in the Lord. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a moment of invitation in just a moment. Pastor's going to come. I'm not sure who here this morning is saved or unsaved. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, there's going to be an invitation given. Listen, don't wait another day. Don't wait another moment. If you're not sure that if you were to draw your last breath right now and slip out into eternity, if you don't know that you'd spend eternity with Jesus, listen, today's the day to place your faith and trust in the Lord. But church, listen, maybe in your life or in your family's life, maybe your faith's just getting a little bit weak. Maybe you need to find your place here at the altar and say, God, would you renew that faith? God, would you just increase it? God, would you just stir something up? God, would you do something? Heads bowed and eyes closed as they begin to sing. If God's spoken to your heart, you come. Pastor, you do.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Folks have come. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is an old-fashioned invitation. We invite you to come down and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Pastor Chamberlain preached to us this morning about our faith, and I don't know where your faith is today. Maybe you're saved and on your way to heaven, but the step of faith you need to take is being baptized. It's taking that first step of obedience unto the Lord and being baptized. Maybe you're here and you've been baptized, but you never joined this church. You've attended for a long time, but you never joined as a member. Why don't you step out in faith this morning and do whatever it is that God would have you do to please Him this morning, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
This morning, last week, we had a folks, I knew that there was somebody in the building need to be saved. This morning, folks, I look out at the crowd and I know someone's made their way into the building that needs to be saved, on their way to heaven. The only way you can do that is by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, His finished work on Calvary. Last week, we had an invitation and the music played and we sang and folks prayed for you to step forward. And I know that it's a hard thing to step out and come, but you know, after the service, somebody met me at the back door and said, "Preacher, I need to be saved." This morning, I don't know where you are or whether you're gripping the pew this morning, but while our folks in the building, everybody that's standing and listening that's been saved had let somebody take a Bible and show them how to be saved. So this morning, if you're torn, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do, preacher," while folks bow their heads and close their eyes, if you know that you need to be saved, why don't you step out and come right here and let me take the Bible. Let me take your hand and take the Bible and show you how you can be saved this morning. It'll mean everything for you. The Bible says that you have heaven to gain, but you have hell to miss. You know, for us this morning, there's a lot of us in the building. You say, "Well, everybody's looking at me." Everybody's praying for you. Everybody's made that step of faith and stepped out and walked the aisle and gotten saved. We're going to sing one more invitational hymn to give you that opportunity. Folks, would you bow your heads and pray that God would work in the heart of that one person that needs to be saved this morning?
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
We're going to let you be seated this morning.